Thank you so much for joining us today. Mark Leslie joins us. He is fresh from the Today Show on Columbus Day. And Mark is an author and stage manager. His book, which has taken off, is called Beyond the Pasta, Recipes, Language, and Life with an Italian Family. It is published by Gemelli Press. Congratulations. You have a hit.
Grazie, grazie. Ciao. Come stai? How are you today?
Welcome back from the Today Show. How was it?
Thanks. It was wonderful. Everybody there was really incredible, from the crew to the staff to Kathy Lee and Hoda. Everyone was really fun.
You looked like you were having a great time. They looked like they were having a great time. And what were you cooking?
I was making a minestrone alla Genovese, which means it's a minestrone soup in the style of Genoa, which is where Columbus is from. And so that really means pesto. Anything with Genovese in the style of Genoa means pesto. That's where pesto originated, up there in northern Italy.
Mark, let's catch everyone up today. You have some new listeners who are not familiar with your journey to Italian cooking.
I really got hooked on Italian cooking when I was in Italy in 2001. I was there on 9/11, and the Italian people were incredible. And that experience really propelled me into going back in 2005 to be part of the kind of trying to re-experience the culture from the inside out. So I actually went and lived with a family, an Italian family, took cooking lessons from the grandmother, language lessons from her daughter, and lived with them for a month. And that experience led me into writing a book about my travels and sharing that idea of family and food back here with everyone in America.
And of course, that's the reason behind the title, Beyond the Pasta.
That's right. It's not just, Italian food is not just about pasta. I mean, that's the thing they're famous for, but it's more than that. It's really, food is about the experience you have while you're eating it. It's more than just what's on your plate. It's actually the stories you tell and the laughter and sadness and tears that are happening as a group collectively around the table.
You became part of the family over
I
these
did.
Years.
Si, si, è vero. It's true.
And you still go back.
Yes, I go back every year. I try to go back every year. I was just back in January, which seems like a long time ago. I usually go in the fall, but I went back in January, and it was an incredible experience to be back with them after the release of the book from last September. And we had a big, I was there over New Year's Eve, and it was a big celebration. We had a great time.
How did the Italian grandmother like the book?
She can't read the book because she doesn't speak any English, but her daughter has translated it, and she loves it. She did correct me that in saying that I did not tell anyone her name. I only know her as Nonna, Grandma. And so I told her, I said, well, I don't know your name. And so she said, you know, it's Angela Maria Bonomi Stephanie. So that is Nona's name. I hope Nona will listen to this and hear that I've actually said her name.
Besides your success being on the Today Show, you have also gotten onto the Paula Deen website with a fresh look at pumpkin.
That's right. They asked me to write an article about pumpkins from the actual article is called A New Perspective on Pumpkin. And so it really talks about how the Italians treat pumpkin as a savory thing, where in America we tend to think of it as a sweet thing. So I have three recipes that are featured there, plus an article that I wrote for them. And if you Google Mark Leslie and Paula Deen, it pops right up, and I'm on her website. Also did a spicy pumpkin seed recipe. You know, you have to do something with the inside of a pumpkin as well. So,
since it's Halloween and pumpkin month, give us some tips about pumpkins.
Well, you really don't want to cook with a big jack-o'-lantern pumpkin. You want to cook with a small pumpkin. Usually they're called pie pumpkins. They're about 2 to 3 pounds. And you want to treat it just like you would a squash. You can slice it up and bake it with a little, you know, olive oil and Parmesan cheese. That recipe's on the site that I gave Paula Deen. Or you can, you know, peel the outside of it and put it in soup. There's a minestrone with pumpkin and fall vegetables that is on the site, which I really love, actually. It's pretty wonderful. So it's a new way of thinking. I like to think that in the South, if you were to replace sweet potato recipes with pumpkin, you'd in a way get the same result. Not quite as sweet as a sweet potato, but it's that same idea.
And pumpkin is very good for you, isn't it?
Pumpkin is great for you. I think that's why I think people should think of it more of as a savory item, that you can actually eat it for dinner as opposed to thinking of it in a muffin or a cake or a pie and all those kind of what we think as fattening things. You can actually use it as a fresh vegetable in a medley of vegetables. So it's good.
Mark, what is your soapbox issue?
My big thing is bring your family to the table and change a life one meal at a time. For me, it's about cooking. It's actually the experience that you and I would share standing in the kitchen. I tell people, you know, if I lived with you and every day you came down for breakfast and I made you a piece of toast, something completely unglamorous, butter, maybe cut it on angle to make it fancy. But if I did that every day for 6 months, whether you asked for it or not, you know, good morning, Carolyn, here's your toast. Good morning, Carolyn, here's your toast. At 6 months and day one, if you came downstairs and that toast wasn't there, you would probably think, is Mark mad at me? What's so special about that toast? Nothing. But what's really special about that toast is that I took time to make something for you. So that's what food is. Food is more than what's on the plate. It's the experience we share together. And I think that's so important. I mean, there's lots of times in our lives where we have special memories of an event. And 9 times out of 10, it started with food, but it really ends up about what happened while we were eating that food, whether it's a celebration or, you know, someone has passed away and you're remembering that person while you're eating. Food is a gateway into the soul. There's something sacred about food, or at least I think so.
Is this what you learned from the Italian family?
Definitely. I grew up eating my great-grandmother's cooking in Ohio when we would go on vacation, and she made our special things. So, of course, for me, food and love is really connected. And in Italy, it's that same way. They still come home every day for lunch from work and eat together as a family. They eat together. Even if you're married, you go back to your grandmother's house or your mother's house and you eat together. And there's something about that coming back around the table. You know, no one's going to remember how well your mom could pass you a bag of burger doodles in the back seat while you're going through the drive-thru, or how your dad could hit 3 minutes on the microwave. But I bet you remember somebody who made cookies for you, or somebody who made your favorite, you know, pork ribs, or whatever food it is. It doesn't have to be extravagant, but you're going to remember that because someone took time to say, I'm thinking of you, I like you. And that's what food is.
So food brings people together.
That's exactly right.
You also are an ambassador for using fresh ingredients.
I think that fresh, it's so easy to use fresh vegetables. I think the more food is processed, the less nutrition it is. It may be quote unquote faster, but if it's a difference between taking 15 minutes to cook something that's processed or 30 minutes to cook something fresh, spend the extra 15 minutes, you're eating something good. And in the process of making it, you're also making a connection with the person that you're cooking with or for.
Give us some hints about how we can adapt our Southern cooking to maybe healthier cooking.
Well, I think the biggest thing is portion control. I think lots of times there in Italian culture and European culture, there is no sense of all-you-can-eat buffets, the doggy bag you take home from a restaurant. In America, if you sit down at a restaurant, 9 times out of 10 people will say, oh, they give you so much food for the money. Well, maybe I don't want all that food for the money. Maybe I'd like a smaller portion, a little more, less, you know, expensive, and then I'm eating a higher quality food. In America, it tends to be food quantity over food quality. And I think if we were all thinking more about fresh vegetables, where our food came from, that we prepared them, for me, the Italian philosophy is food from the ground to the table in the fewest steps possible. That's food. That's nutrition.
And it translates to health.
That's exactly right. If you're eating less, you walk a little more, you know, I mean, Italians don't all walk around all ripped. It's not like they're an incredibly buff country, but they are slimmer than we are in general. I mean, I go to Italy, I eat everything in sight, and I come back and I'm 10 pounds lighter. So there's something about that I think we're kind of missing here. And it's mostly portion control. We're a rich country, so we put a little cheese is good, a lot of cheese must be better. Well, maybe it's not. I mean, I'm from Wisconsin or Northern Illinois, almost Wisconsin, and I love cheese, but it's moderation. It's everything in moderation, and we kind of push the extremes of that because we're a rich country.
You have several appearances coming up, and you're cooking for folks.
Yeah, that's right. Tonight I'm going to be at the Wetumpka Public Library, which actually I'm going to be in the Jeanette Barrett Civic Room, which is across the street from the library behind the Wetumpka Depot Players building, and I'll be there tonight at 7 o'clock, and I'm going to be making a little crostini and honey with gorgonzola, a little kind of Italian dessert, but I like to serve it as an appetizer. I'll be cooking that. We'll have some refreshments. I'll read from the book, show some video of Nona and the family. I'll be doing that tonight. And then in November, on November 12th, I've been asked to participate in Hampstead Farms, their farm-to-fork food invasion, which is on November 12th.
And that's all about their community garden.
That's right. And I'll be doing minestrone. I think I'll do the pumpkin one from the Paula Deen website that I turned into them. So I think I'll be doing that using fresh vegetables in a simple soup. showing you that it's really easy and it tastes great.
Are you open for more speaking engagements?
Oh, yeah. I love to come and cook in people's homes. I love to talk about food. People can contact me. I'd love to get together. You know, we can do a party. We can do a book club. We can do whatever. I really want to inspire people to get back into the kitchen, bring your family to the table, and change a life one meal at a time. I mean, that's really what food is.
With the speaking engagements you've done, are you beginning to see this turn?
I think so. I mean, people, when I actually cook for people, they're like, oh, that's all it took? And I'm like, yes, that's all it took. Oh, well, I could do that. Yes, you can do that. I mean, that's what I think. I think in a way, because we've gotten so removed from actually cooking that we've forgotten what I think maybe before World War II people knew when they watched their grandmother cook or their grandfather or whoever cooked for them in their house. We've gotten away from actually seeing people actually cook. So when you actually see somebody cook and go, oh, well, I can do that. Yeah, you can do that. And once you get that confidence behind you, then the whole world opens up. You don't have to stick to a recipe. You can substitute ingredients and swap things out. I mean, I'm doing a minestrone. It's a soup. If you don't like pumpkin, use squash. If you don't like squash, use zucchini. If you don't like zucchini, use green beans. I mean, swap it up to make it your own. That's food. That's what cooking is.
When you lived with the Italian family, is this the way they train their children to participate in the preparation of the food?
Oh, definitely. Well, I mean, when I was there in January, Nona was cooking, and her great-granddaughter was there, Thais, and Thais was two. And anytime Nona was cooking, Thais was there and kind of tugging on her apron strings. Now, half the time, she wanted Nona to come play with her. Giacomi, Nona, Giacomi, come play with me. But the other time, you know, Nona would be cutting something fresh and giving it to Thais, and Thais would eat it. I mean, Thais loved to eat fruit. She loved to eat fresh vegetables, cooked or raw. And it's because that's what she had to eat. She wasn't given, you know, a lollipop or a sucker and pushed off into the corner. The food was part of her everyday experience. And the person she loved, the person who loved her, was right there doing it. And I think for a lot of people of a certain generation, they grew up like that. I sort of grew up that with my mom cooking at home, but my youngest sister, my mom was working by then, so she didn't. Now, I know people have to work, and I understand you don't always have time to cook every meal every day, but maybe you can cook once a week. Maybe you can cook once a month. Maybe you can cook for a special occasion. Maybe you can't cook dinner. Maybe you can cook breakfast. Maybe you can only find time to do lunch on a Saturday afternoon. Spend some time trying to figure out one meal where you can cook for or with someone that you care about. And I'm telling you, it will change your life. It will change their life.
From what you learned living with the Italian family, are there any herbs or spices that would go very well with Southern cuisine?
There's lots of stuff. I think people... Well, especially red pepper flakes, peperoncini, as it is in Italy. I mean, people like here in the South like spicy things, especially when it comes to greens. Italians like spicy greens. I think Southerners like spicy greens as well. I also think rosemary is great. It goes with meat. I like to use fennel. They use a lot of fennel seed with fish and with pork and in desserts, and so they like to mix things up. So I think there are a lot of crossovers. You just have to kind of make those discoveries for yourself as you sit around and cook.
Do you have a website so that people can get in touch and maybe ask if you would visit their group?
Yeah, exactly. You can go to beyondthepasta.com, and you'll see recipes and photos, and there's a contact, and you can contact me. And I love to hear from people. People are always sending me questions about, well, how would you do this, or can I find this? And I also have an app. There's a Beyond the Pasta app on iTunes, which you can go and download recipes, and I have all kinds of tip videos on there and, where you can find stuff. And so there's the app, there's the website. There's lots of ways that you can get inspired to cook.
That is the neat part of your website, the cooking tips themselves.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I enjoy that. I really want people to cook. It's not just about, you know, I'm not lip service. I really want people to cook. And it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be as simple as you want it to be. And that's how I like to cook. I like to cook simply.
I want to thank you for being here and sharing your love of Italian cooking and helping us figure out ways to spice up Southern cooking.
Grazie tanto. I always love coming here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mark. Mark Leslie is an author and stage manager. He travels the United States. His book is Beyond the Pasta, Recipes, Language, and Life with an Italian Family. And it is published by Gemelli Press. And his website, one more time, is beyondthepasta.com. We'll take you back to Troy for the remainder of your news hour. Our program is a public service of Troy University.